This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 13, 2022, the second Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Be ye followers of me, brethren.
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
These are the words of St. Paul that preceded the second reading today. The three verses that precede what was read are St. Paul pointing to himself. It's kind of interesting. We have the transfiguration narrative today, and God the Father speaking from the cloud says, "This is my beloved Son, my chosen, listen to him." And then St. Paul says, "Be followers of me." You think if, like, St. Paul was, you know, any kind of apostle, when he said, "Be followers of Jesus," St. Paul is not being braggadocious. He is not being prideful. He is presenting fact to people. And if you really think about it, what a glorious fact it would be if all the pastors of the church could look at the people to whom they speak and say, "Be followers of me, brethren." Why? Because they're pointing fingers at themselves? No, because they're pointing fingers to Jesus Christ. Because this is why Paul can say this, because he lived a life that was commensurate with the faith he taught. He did not just speak words. He lived his faith. This is something that we have to start to be attentive toward. We have to listen to the admonition of the Holy Spirit through St. Paul and understand that it is a necessity for us to do things, to present our faith. How many of you are afraid of that? You don't have to do that. You don't have to. Well, there's a lot of things we don't have to do, but it's best that we do. It's much better that we do. But there are some things that we have to do, like be an imitator of St. Paul. Why do I have to imitate St. Paul? I'm a Christian. Because he imitated Jesus Christ. And God the Holy Spirit, speaking through St. Paul, says, be an imitator of him. Be a follower of him. Again, what a glorious thing it would be if all pastors, all clerics, could look at their people to whom they speak and say those words. Because those words mean something. They're not just a philosophy. They're not just a teaching. It's a way of life. A way of life in which we emulate our Lord Jesus Christ, as St. Paul did. This is a proper thing for a cleric to be able to do. It's not boasting on himself, but an example of Christ Jesus that he presents. This is what makes such preaching engaging. Why should you really listen to a person who teaches you something and then they don't live the way that they have just taught you? We're seeing a lot of that now. This is a horrible thing. It is monstrous that so many clerics, some in very high positions, claim to be Catholics and don't act like it one bit. This is just reality. Paul setting the stage for, we need to emulate Jesus. I, St. Paul, who was a contemporary of our Lord, he bore witness to our Lord Jesus Christ, not just by words, but through his mouth, but through his life. And he's not being braggadocious. We can tell that from this very passage, because he says, "Be ye followers of me, brethren, observe them who walk as you have our example." You don't go from speaking in the first person at the beginning of a sentence to speaking in the third person at the end of the sentence. So he's not putting the focus on him. He starts out his letter to the Philippians. Paul, an apostle, and Timothy. Paul and Timothy, we work together. We exemplify Christ. These are the ones that we are to follow. But this is foundational. It's foundational in our understanding of what we refer to as the communion of the saints. Why do we have the communion of the saints? We have the communion of saints because they were the superstars, so to speak. They're the Hall of Famers when it comes to living the faith. They did it so well that the entire church, the universal church, took notice of individuals. St. Francis, St. Ignatius, St. Dominic, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Therese, name your poison. They all exemplified Christ. They all lived a life that mirrored his. We're not just to listen to what he says, but do as he did. This is the example, and this is what the saints do. Started with St. Paul, and now we have a long list of saints who have done what he did in exemplifying Jesus, and they are saints. This is what we refer to, and this is what you should understand as tradition. The capital T. Always talking about the deposit of the faith. Always say, the deposit of the faith, scripture, that written word, those instructions. Tradition, which is equal to scripture. What is tradition? It is not, well, traditional means people who do that old school stuff. No, tradition is that which was handed down to us. Tradition is something that is lived, not just something that is spoken. We live our faith. This is why this isn't going away. As many people as may not like it, this is not going anywhere. You can write this, you can write that, you can mandate this, and you can mandate that. This is not going away. If it wouldn't happen in here, it'd happen in somebody's house. It's not going away. Why? Because that is the lived faith of the church. We don't do the things we did to compare and contrast us with people who do new stuff. This is what tradition is. It is something that is lived, not just spoken. But it is something that is lived that has to be founded. It has to be concrete. This is what we do by maintaining the faith. This is what we do by imitating the saints who imitated St. Paul, who imitated Jesus. This is of the utmost importance, this idea of continuing to serve the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. You know, the saints that I mentioned before, those saints, again, fill in the blank, the one you like, the saints, if they've been a saint for 1,000 years, if they came in here, they would recognize what's going on. Maybe not the language they're used to, but they would recognize exactly what was going on. If they went into most Catholic parishes, would they recognize what's going on? No. That's the answer to that, no. Well, here we go, we're pointing out bad examples. You know why? It's because St. Paul says, be imitators of me, and guess what he does? He points out bad examples. This is why there's two options today, the longer second reading and the shorter second reading. What we're talking about today is an option. Why do you think most places would just do the shorter option? Because this puts us on notice. This demands something of you to be an imitator of St. Paul. This isn't a suggestion. This is the perpetuity of our lived faith. And St. Paul, this is, again, one of the reasons why there's an option here, because if we read this stuff, like when St. Paul says, he points out good examples, himself, Timothy, but for many, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end to destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. St. Paul preached that in our day and age, he would be canceled. He'd be called to task. How dare you judge people, St. Paul? How dare you say that their end is destruction? We're called to do that. We point to good examples It is also our job to point out bad examples. That's kind of easy in our day, to point out bad examples of violations of what goes on here. It isn't because I get a kick out of it. It isn't, you know, it isn't, again, a compare and contrast, you know, to argue points. It is a matter of living our faith. And it's dangerous for souls if there are places where their faith is not lived, or if they are listening to people who may be in position of authority who do not live their faith. I mean, it's glaring in our day. How can you teach that the scriptures are the inerrant, infallible word of God, and then in your liturgy, you're doing things that are prohibited in that word of God? How can that be? It's inconsistent. It's hypocritical. How can it be that we say that in the Eucharist is divinity, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of God Almighty Himself, and then act like most do in a lot of places in their church when they come into His presence? Or how, even more so, how they approach Him at the altar, nonchalantly. It's a contradiction. It couldn't be God. It could not be God if you act that way. This could not be. For a couple years in a row. Heck, one year, they didn't even celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, the holiest day of the Catholic calendar. They don't worship on that day. And you know that even the year after that, we have a ritual in the church that we do to prevent illness. It's called St. Blaise, the blessing of the throats. It's a Catholic ritual that is purported to prevent illness. But there weren't a lot of parishes were doing it. Because why? Because, well, if you do that, you could get sick. It's ridiculous. It's laughable. It should be nauseating. And it's very obvious to people that it's hypocritical. This is why a whole bunch of people have not come back to Mass. Because they prove they don't believe what they say. Why should I go back there? They obviously don't believe this. Hey, talk about God protecting them. They read Psalm 91 about Him protecting you from pestilence and this and that and the other thing. And they're standing up there looking like a surgeon or an x-ray tech. Oh, you have to receive on the tongue. Let me put my gloves on, my gauntlets. No, it's hypocrisy. It's faithlessness. And people know it. Pagans know it. Look at it. They talk about their God protecting them all the time. Their churches are closed because there's a chest cold going around. It's got a 99.98% cure rate. And their churches are closed for a year in some places. Heck, they're still busting their chops in places in the world. That's hypocrisy. It's faithlessness. It is, I don't believe, really. We teach people that we really believe when we live our faith. This is where, because this is not just about St. Paul. This is not just about St. Ignatius, St. Therese, St. Teresa. It's not about them. It's about us. Because St. Teresa, St. Ignatius, they were just like each and every one of us until they lived a life of heroic faith, until they disciplined themselves. You know, this whole concept of what we hear about from the point of our baptism. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to resist the world, the flesh, and the devil. In that, pointing out bad examples. Without using those words, the world, the flesh, and the devil, St. Paul points exactly to that. Whose God is their belly? The flesh. Whose glory is their shame? Saying what is evil is good and what is good is evil. That's the devil. Who mind earthly things. That's the world. I'm really getting kind of sick and tired of hearing about how much we have to care about the world. Our caring is sharing the gospel with them. And they shouldn't listen to you if you don't live the faith you tell them about. Oh, look, they want to be more like us, so why should I change? They're trying to be more like me. We should not dress like them. We should not speak like them. We should present a whole different kind of ball game to them. And we should make it attractive to them. Not just words, but the way we live life. I would ask even more so the way you live your life. And it's a holy pride. I was so proud one day. Somebody that I knew from years ago, godless heathen, belligerent to things of the faith. He and I go way back, and we have arguments about the faith, very upfront about things. He wanted to get together and drink a cup of coffee. I said, well, you're going to have to come to my office. Yeah, well, whatever. See, he shows up after a noon mass, show up, standing out there talking to folks after mass. He came walking up, and of course, they stayed out of the radius there. Got done saying, talking about walking up to the office, and he goes, this place is really uncomfortable. I thought, yeah, no doubt it is. Okay. I said, but I'm going to play with him. Uncomfortable? How do you mean? He goes, just standing there. He goes, those people are weird. Thank you. That's the way the world should look at us. They ought not get us. We should be weird. Does not St. Paul say, I am a fool for Christ? Does that mean St. Paul act foolishly? No. It's the way the world perceived him. They don't get it. I mean, I tried to parse it out of him. What do you mean weird? It's the way they're dressed. Nobody's wearing any weird uniforms or anything out there. The way they're dressed. Why? Because they don't have tank tops and shorts on? That's weird? We're worshiping God. That's what we do. That's how we do it. I can almost guarantee you that if he went to some other parishes, he wouldn't have felt so uncomfortable. He wouldn't have felt that the people were weird. We're supposed to be like that. You know what's really sad about that? I'm talking about a godless heathen. But I stand back there in the back and I watch Catholic visitors come through those doors every now and then, and it's almost snicker time every now and then. To watch people, just doing what they normally do when they walk into the church. Hey, blah, 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 blah. What? It's quiet in here, and what are those women wearing on their heads? They don't get it. So the way we do it is even weird for a lot of Catholics. And then, of course, when they're, I don't understand why they're wearing those things. Like, well, it's in Scripture. Where's that? I've never heard that before. I'm sure you have not. Just like most people today are not going to hear St. Paul say, be followers of me, brethren, and then point out bad examples of the faith. Was St. Paul perfect? This is the man who said, I do the things I know I should not do, and I don't do the things I know I should do, a wretched man that I am. That's his interior struggles. He knows them, and he's honest about them. But he can, in the same breath, say, be follower of me, brethren. Why? Because he was trying to overcome that trash. This is the reality. So that's part of our example also. So this is about us. This whole thing, whose God is their belly. St. John Chrysostom, he commenting on St. Paul's remark, St. John Chrysostom says, your belly is given to you that you may nourish it, not so that it may burst. Set self-constraint as a boundary, as God has set the sand to the sea. This is what we do during Lent, for instance. This is a whole, we've been harping on Lent. What is Lent? Lent is a time in the liturgical year where we actually engage, actually do things for the faith. So it's not just a matter of your interior. It's multifaceted. It is our interior struggles, just like St. Paul had, but it's also an example to people. If you're doing Lent correctly and somebody invites you to lunch, you go to the restaurant. Yeah, I want the bacon cheeseburger and extra fries and supersize this and everything. And you order the side salad and they go, dude, aren't you hungry? We don't want you sick or something. No, it's Lent. Just a little say, some people might think, yeah, okay, whatever. And some people, you don't have to do stuff like that. Yeah, you do. Because St. Paul says that. Our Lord Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, didn't eat or drink anything. So for us to do something little like get a side salad for lunch, you know, we are some small way exemplifying Christ, but that is what we are called to do, because our Christian spirituality is based on the world to come. And if your spirituality is based on the world to come, you ought to be manifesting in this world that you are separating yourself from it. You don't do what it does. You don't act like it does. This is the reality of a lived faith. We are tradition. Here recently, someone has said that the magisterium determines tradition. No, it does not. No, it does not. Tradition is an objective thing. Tradition is what people have always done. You know, when people go, I don't understand why the priest has his back to the people. Hello, we're all facing God. You know, you got their back. You know, it shows where their emphasis is. The people. No, we're all facing God because he's the center of this whole thing. And that's the way the church has always worshiped. We're just doing that. Or the way we receive communion. Because that's what the church has always done. Those other things are younger than me. That's tradition. It's objective. The church has always done this, and it's always done it for a reason. We continue to do so. This is our job. Because just like all these saints that I listed before are to whom we look back upon, there are people in our day and age that are going to be the saints that people 100 years ago, should 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, should the Lord tarry, are going to be looked upon as saints because they lived a heroic life. Because they live their faith. And I would actually submit to you, they're going to shine very, very brightly. Because back in the day with the other saints, there are a lot of people that feared God. Not so much in our day. So we need to understand this transformation that is occurring with us, a transformation that has to be manifest. St. Paul said, we look for our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform this body of our lowliness, made like to the body of his glory. That doesn't mean he's going to wave his God wand, and that's going to happen to you instantaneously. It's going to happen to you if, that caveat, if you make the effort that your faith demands. The effort that your faith requires of you to make yourself more holy, to emulate our Lord Jesus Christ for all to see, to act like you believe what you say. This is what St. Paul's talking about. This is my beloved son, my chosen. Listen to him. Yeah, listen to him. He said he is our example. And if you're doing it correctly, you can use the same words as St. Paul. Be a follower of me. Every Catholic parent should be able to look at their child and say, be a follower of me. Every single Catholic should be able to look at your pagan friends and say, be a follower of me. Not just listen to what I say. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.